much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Turn the frown the other way around.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Way to go, BMOG. Lost another 1.3 pounds. I got a tool tip for you to lose the rest of it. Cut your tongue off. That way, you lose a couple pounds and we don't have to listen to you. I hate you, BMOG.
What can we expect in terms of fighting style? Are there any kind of specific, like, martial arts, or is it just straight out brawling, you know, fight?
I need you all to make me have not said that. I need you to have make me unsaid it.
Man, these white folks is crazy.
And now.
Hey, mister.
Excuse me. I'm trying to read. Okay, don't make me start over.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show for a Wednesday morning.
Well, it's crackleating, people. What's going on?
You know how we do.
You know how we do. Living large.
Sure. Hey, two questions on today's story.
Right.
One is, what state do you imagine?
Florida.
Huh, good one. Excellent guess. Florida indeed. The story is from Florida. We've had stories in the past of what people have been arrested drunk driving on before. We've had drunk driving on lawnmowers before.
Uh-huh.
We've had a motorized bar stool. We had just last year we had somebody who was drunk driving on a Zamboni machine.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Cleaning ice up in Minnesota. I'd like you guys to try to guess what the drunk driving vehicle of choice was in this particular story with Mr. Timothy Carr of Florida. What do you think he might have been on when he was arrested for drunk driving?
So it would be something.
Something with wheels.
Something with wheels.
Yeah.
Not a golf cart.
Tricycle.
Was it transient? He was spotted around 9 o'clock on Sunday night.
Shopping cart?
Yes, Lisa.
Nice guess.
Transient.
I know. Still, nice guess.
How about that?
You could get in trouble for that?
He was behind the wheel of a motorized shopping cart inside a Walmart.
Oh, one of those yes.
Awesome.
He was drunk driving inside a Walmart. This story has everything.
It really does.
He was drinking an alcoholic beverage that he had taken off the shelf inside the store. He was knocking items off the shelves as he drove, according to police. Of course, he's a transient. He did not have any money to pay for the alcohol that he was drinking on the shopping cart inside the Walmart. He was arrested on charges of disorderly intoxication and retail theft. He'd been arrested twice before for shoplifting. So now I guess they might have a law in Florida similar to what they have in California, which is third strike. So this one's a felony. And it could be very bad news for this man, which may be very good news for this man.
Wow.
three
hots and a cot, as they say, as I used to say back in my prison days.
Sure.
So, so that happened in a Walmart in Florida.
I think sometimes when you get your drunk on, you need to get behind the wheel of a car. Some people just feel that way.
Yes, and he probably doesn't have a car.
And he doesn't have a car. Very creative.
And what's the downside for this guy? I mean, seriously.
Right?
Like we said, he's better off today than he was Saturday.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? When he was out looking for something. So maybe this is a win-win for everybody. Mm-hmm. But imagine being in that Walmart and seeing a dude just
That'd
going around
awesome.
Knocking stuff off the shelves and everything.
Wouldn't you just follow him around, just watching?
People are diving out of the way.
Maybe videotaping?
Yeah, why have I not seen any cell phone footage of this, by the way?
That's the correct answer is to
Come
whip out
on,
your phone immediately.
People. Yeah,
this totally seems like this should be the best video going.
Florida, the penis. America.
I don't know how they do it, but they continue to amaze. And Lisa, I'm just stunned that you were able to come up with that. A shopping cart. Well, you don't usually think about people drunk driving inside a building, but well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, when you said transient, I didn't think shopping cart, but that makes sense that she came up with it.
And right. He's got a hell of a mugshot, too. So.
Oh, sweet. I bet he does.
It's the best.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we? Do you have anything you want to talk about? Or? I stand by that. I think that was good.
No, it was perfect. It was smooth.
Creative ways that you broke the news to somebody. I don't know if you've seen this photo, but there is a cake. And the writing on top of the cake is, I'm gay. So
it's the gay cake.
It's sort of like, Mom and Dad, I have news for you. But then, cake. So it's a good thing.
It's a very kind way to do that.
Right.
So it, yeah, it goes down a little easier maybe if there's some sweetness associated with it. That's good thinking.
We're going to talk to a traffic lawyer about my issues.
Many, many, many issues.
Of which there are very few.
Uh-huh.
We're going to tell you about people who inject snake venom into themselves on purpose for years and years and years.
Yeah, and nearly kills himself doing it on numerous occasions, too, but still thinks it's the right thing. Can't find a doctor to back him up that it's the right thing, but is convinced it is.
Thinks it's the best thing, and he would never even consider.
So it's not a high of any sort.
No.
He thinks this is going to help him live.
Stay young and give him
energy. Stay young, be healthy.
Youth serum. Okay.
And curiously, and when we get to the tape, you'll hear this, one of the reasons that he is doing it is to build up resistance to snake venom. Now, if you don't have snakes around that you're milking every day to put poison in your veins, you don't really have to worry about getting bit by snakes.
Yeah, how often do people get bit by snakes?
Right.
What's odd?
He's bizarre. I think it's already affected his brain.
We have that. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. Nice. And we have your tickets for Muse, pre-Grammy party. It's a tiny little room. And a chance to see a band that big in a tiny little room is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So we've got your chance to win that coming up as well. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Django Unchained was eighth. Les Mis and Lincoln ringing out, top ten. Rounding out the top ten.
That was a moment with Ralph.
Ringing, rounding, it's rounding, close. Ringing. It's in a family. Come on. Hey, it's 5:54 Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's give Ralph another shot at it. It's time for the Showbiz Beat.
Breaking news. Why don't I have any camera over here?
You do.
Kevin! Da-da-da! Save the day again. Breaking news. Everyone, put down what you're doing. Your coffee mugs, your breakfasts. If you're driving a car, pull over to the side.
Oh,
especially
boy.
If you're on the freeway. Pawtucket, Rhode Island. The news comes out.
And now, breaking news.
Hasbro has unveiled their new token for the Monopoly game.
What happened now?
Hasbro announced a new token.
They have, you could vote for one of the five.
You can vote for one of the five.
The robot, the helicopter, the guitar, the diamond ring, or the cat. Well, fans from 120 countries have voted. The votes are in. They've been tabulated.
Shouldn't we snuff the life out of every one of those people?
Yes.
Bean. 10 times.
What'd you vote for, Bean?
Robot.
Ah, robot.
Of course. Yeah, you know me. I love robots.
Sure.
Right.
The new token is the cat. The cat has become the new
cats
token.
Are dicks.
Oh, yeah. Worst option out of all five of these. That's why you can't trust people to vote on anything. Elections. American Idol, People's Choice Awards, it's all garbage.
Cat.
Bean, are you very upset? Is there a strongly worded letter in Hasbro's future?
No, I mean, look, the Monopoly allowed people on the internet to vote. People on the internet seem to love cats. I guess I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
But I'll live. I accept it.
Wow, this is a new Bean.
I accept it. I'll miss the robot.
Will this be the topic of conversation at Denny's this Thursday, on your regular Denny's day?
Well, now I don't know whether to go back to Denny's on Thursday because I went yesterday in place of IHOP because they were having National Pancake Day. So now my whole world is turned
upside
down. That's
a whole other conversation.
I don't know what time it is for you, Ralph.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Well, I went yesterday. Thank you for asking, Ralph. So I went yesterday.
I don't think we want more detail now.
Somebody was sitting
in
my seat at the counter.
We can talk more about this.
Then what do I do? Because now I've got to sit in a different seat at the counter.
Let's get back to the Hasbro story.
Do is you get cheese balls and you put toothpicks in them and you put on Wapner and you let Rain Man just enjoy his night. That's what you do.
It's very complicated yesterday. I did not enjoy it.
Hey, what did you guys think of the GoDaddy.com ad with Bar Raffaelli making out with that nerd dude?
A, I wished it was me. And
yeah, sure.
Two,
you wanted to make out with that dude?
Two, I think it was kind of gross.
Did you do A and two on purpose?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did A and two. I thought it was funny. It was a hilarious spot to watch. I don't know that anybody sees that commercial and goes, you know what? I do need to switch my domain name provider to GoDaddy. I don't know that it was effective to sell their brand other than the name being top of mind.
Yeah, you may be right. But on the other hand, it may have afforded them the biggest sales day in the history of the company.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
Hosting sales jumped 45% for GoDaddy.com after that commercial.
Good on them. Did everybody think that Bar Raffaele was going to make out with them?
.com domain sales rose 40% after the Super Bowl. New mobile customers increased by 35%.
Wow.
The company added 10,000 new customers in total.
Wow.
Biggest sales day in the history of the company after the Super Bowl.
Hey, I like GoDaddy. I have all my domain names registered with them. I like the company.
Well, it did very well for this. For the
now, do I get to make out with Bar Raffaele now?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Jesse Hyman is the name of the kid who was in the commercial with her, and reportedly it took 45 takes
to wouldn't film you screw that commercial. Up
I would have made it take 200 takes.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I wasn't concentrating. Mm-hmm. Can we do it again?
You needed 20 minutes in between each take just to recover and get back and ready,
Ralph,
get ready for it again.
Were you saying yesterday that there were some takes that were too graphic, too much tongue?
Yeah, CBS bounced a version back because it was just all tongue and slobber and just going at it hardcore. And CBS said, we can't. Have you heard of the Parents Television Council? We can't show that commercial. So they came back with the tamer cut. But what you saw there was just some of what he was getting during those 45 takes.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Ain't that some?
Rare Bob Hope.
Well, you started it.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I don't have time for this. All right, listen, come back in an hour. I have a very funny story for you.
Or stay through the next hour.
I'm not going to do that to these people. I like them, but I'll be here in an hour. Someone has collected complaints that have been filed against Saturday Night Live between 2008 and 2012. And it just goes to show you the quality of the intelligence
of
the people who are complaining about Saturday Night Live.
I love
very, very funny quotes from those complaints.
Can I suggest, Ralph, people should stick around this particular day because the actor who plays Daryl from The Walking Dead, Norman Reedus, joins us after the top of the hour.
Norman Reedus. Talking about Norman Reedus.
Where we are in The Walking Dead Season 3 and what's likely to happen this Sunday. So if you're a fan of that show like we are, stick around to hear that.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Zsa Zsa Gabor is still alive.
No way.
That should have been my breaking news at top of the hour.
Every day that should be your breaking news.
She is 96 years old today. She has she's had four legs removed. They were putting legs on her just to take them off at some point. Rip Torn is 82 years old from the Larry Sanders Show. TV journalist Tom Brokaw. I miss Tom.
Tom Brokaw is 73 years old today.
He sure couldn't be understood. We got to see a little bit of him during the election, of course. They did use him as a special correspondent. It was nice to see him. He still seems well.
Robert Townsend of The Parenthood is 56. Kathy DeJimmy from Veronica's Closet and King of the Hill, 56 years old. Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses is 51. Rick Astley! It's 47. Oh, we're going to queue up some mother effing never going to give me up, bitches. He is 47 years old today. Allison Hayslip, our pal from the tech of the show.
Love her.
And the voice, she is 32. And Chris Humphries, husband of Kim Kardashian, is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I'm thinking now, Kevin, that these articles are starting to come out, that maybe the Walt Disney Company did not spend billions of dollars on Lucasfilm so that they could not make lots of Star Wars movies.
Yeah, I love it, though. I mean, I think it's a good idea. You know, with the Avengers, how they have the one-off movies. You got Thor. Mm-hmm. You have Captain America. They're talking about not only making three more Star Wars movies at Disney, but some solo movies as well. And the first one that has been rumored is Yoda.
Oh,
making a Yoda movie.
So this would be a movie all about presumably his backstory, Yoda as a young puppet, and then how he grew into the great warrior that he is today.
As a 200-year-old and then 400-year-old and then 600-year-old.
Right,
how he changed and became wrinkly.
So there could be a Han Solo movie. There could be a Boba Fett movie. I mean, there's tons of characters that people love. There could be a Princess Leia movie. I mean, they could do a ton of these, right?
Yeah, no kidding. I'm excited.
Well, give me the big music because we have a very special guest here on the phone. Believe it or not, I know the details. I said I know the details have been sketchy so far. Thank you. Much better. But apparently Yoda is on the phone, and maybe he can answer some questions about how it's going in the early stages of planning this new film for Disney. Hi, Yoda.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. Congratulations on all this big news. I mean, Star Wars never really went away, but it seems like now it's bigger than ever.
Yes. More importantly, movie star I am now.
Yeah, how about that? Mm-hmm. A movie featuring you.
Yes. Now I will be lead.
Now, do you have any idea where it's going to go? What kind of lead you're going to be?
I don't care.
You don't care?
You don't
money,
care?
The money, it's right, it is.
What does a great warrior like you who lives in a swamp need money for?
Swamp is only in movies, you know.
Wow.
Oh, Yoda, I see.
In mansion I live.
Oh, you do? Oh, I didn't picture that at all. What's all the noise behind you, Yoda?
Party I am having.
Oh.
Whores I am banging.
Oh, no.
Yes. Only way little green man can get laid.
Do you have special powers in the bedroom as well?
I do.
Oh.
I do. Or not do. There's no try.
And it does seem like, without getting too gross here, but you could lift your date into the air with your mind if you wanted to. That has a lot of potential, right?
Right. Spinners they are.
You can start in that.
What was that?
Lightsaber.
Lightsaber.
For was cutting, it really, though?
For cutting up lines.
For cutting up
oh,
lines?
No.
Cocaine I am snorting.
Don't go down that path. Yoda.
That's the
Come
dark
on.
Side.
That is the dark side.
The force is strong with this eight ball.
Well, what happened now? What's going on, Yoda?
More cocaine I must have.
More cocaine. Yeah,
you just took. You just had some.
I am a little...
I sense a disturbance in the force.
Yes.
Yeah? What's happening?
Heart is racing.
Oh, no. Come on, Yoda.
You're pretty small. I'm not sure you need that much.
Oh,
yeah, you don't
want to
overdo
it.
Oh, no. Come on. No, Yoda, don't say that. You're
paramedics
beloved.
Paramedics be calling.
Oh, Yoda.
This is terrible.
Okay, I am.
You all right?
More horns I must have.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
Speaking of Muse, coming up next, we're going to give you your chance to win those tickets to the party we've been telling you about, the pre-Grammy party this Friday night. Now, I understand, Ralph, that your friend Jonesy is here. He's in the next room. He's coming in.
Yeah, Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols in the other room. He wants to help us give away some tickets.
That's fantastic. What kinds of questions does Jonesy want this morning?
Jonesy considers himself an expert on Grammy history.
Okay.
Oh.
So if you have any trivia questions about the Grammys, you know, who won best artist or you know, what year did this person would
pretty,
take home this kind of stuff.
Pretty wide category. Is
Look,
he that good?
He's a huge Grammy file, and he seems to think he knows everything about the Grammys.
So. Right. Okay. So if you love the Grammys like we do, give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you can stump Jonesy from Jonesy's Jukebox Sunday nights here on K-Rock. If you can stump him, you go into the drawing. Someone wins tickets to the pre-Grammy party to see Muse. That'll be coming up right after the top of the hour. Here's the toll-free number, 1-800-520-1067 for your Grammy trivia questions. It's Wednesday morning. Ralph's got the showbiz beat now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yesterday I mentioned a story about Lady Gaga and the concert rider that she attached to her Little Monsters tour.
Yes.
It involved things like she had to have certain fabrics draped around her dressing room and posters of her childhood musical artists, heroes.
Certain color flowers.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. But the best part when we got to the end of the rider was backstage, she insisted at every venue she played there be a mannequin with puffy pink pubic hair attached to it. And listener Edwin writes in, I love your stories about concert riders. If I was a rock star, my rider would be, 1, a bowl of green M&Ms. 2, Lisa May and a red teddy. 3, a demand that you fire beer mugs. So I want to thank Edwin for writing in. I appreciate that. And we will get all of those things to you, Edwin.
Those are all great ideas, too.
You've absolutely earned that. I mentioned an hour ago that I wanted to do a story about people who are offended by stuff. We mentioned the Parents Television Council asked the FCC to investigate CBS because they said there was an F-bomb and an S-bomb that made it on air during the post-game celebration after Sunday's Super Bowl. And they are furious that such heinous things would be broadcast to a susceptible America.
Yeah.
The children. What about
the children? Well, there's a website called Government Attic that collects government documents that they find either funny or satirical or comical in their insanity. The Freedom of Information Act allows them to collect this stuff, and they've received a collection of complaints filed against Saturday Night Live between 2008 and 2012, there's just some amazing stuff in here. You got to read it if you get a chance. Here's some of the complaints. It gives you an idea of the kind of people who are easily offended and complaining about this stuff. Okay?
Right.
Our kids are getting the wrong message that weird sex and criminal behavior are good for this country, complains one person. I guarantee you that's not the message Saturday Night Live is sending. another one complains, the show was a rerun hosted by Will Ferrell. It contained a sketch with Usher, Justin Bieber, and Justin Timberwolf.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Please quit allowing media to make humans stupid, was one complaint. All right, we'll do that. You know, the creator and producer of Saturday Night Live for many years is Lorne Michaels.
Right.
Here's a complaint. As an adult of 58 years of age, I occasionally appreciate a measure of pornographic entertainment, and I'm willing to pay for it when circumstances warrant. I do not expect it to be thrown in my face while watching network television. Lorne Green ought to be ashamed of what he has allowed his show to deteriorate into. And lastly, about one particular episode, Jamie Foxx called for the killing of all white people. Jamie Foxx needs to be removed from society until this threat is over. So we'll see if any of those complaints to the FCC are taken seriously.
Oh, my
God.
But
I was just laughing out loud reading those, and it made my day. People are dumb. Hey, tonight's the night. Mike Tyson appears on Law & Order SVU if you want to check it out.
Oh, who knew?
He plays a guy named Reggie Rhodes, a murderer on death row whose violent actions may in part be a byproduct of sexual abuse he suffered as a child.
Mm.
This is the first time Iron Mike has played somebody other than himself on a TV show, so he will be, in his words, acting.
Mm.
That sounds like a role that requires some pretty heavy lifting for a guy with depth. Mike's background.
Yeah, when I was a kid, they used to touch me right there, spinal area.
And I heard you guys talking to Yoda about the new Star Wars standalone films.
Yeah, Barbie. I don't like the direction he's going, man.
Well, that's the problem. Sometimes you become a big star, you lose your head a little bit. They are also talking about making a big screen version of Mr. Peabody and Sherman. You remember them?
Not really.
It was a dog and a dog scientist and his pet boy Sherman.
Oh,
they'd go
of.
Back in time in a time machine and interact with historical figures.
Hmm.
Yeah. DreamWorks Animation has announced that it'll be coming out in spring of 2014, and it will be a fully animated CGI film with celebrities doing the voices of the characters. No word yet on who's going to play who, but that could be funny. I think that could work.
No way. This
could really
go
get
poorly.
Real.
Everyone play something. And Jessica Chastain.
Yes.
How much do we love her?
A lot.
She's the best.
Currently on Broadway, performing in a show called The Heiress. Last weekend, she got a surprise co-star. Like Lisa, she's one of those people who brings her little rat dogs everywhere.
Uh-oh.
And her dog walked onto stage during a dramatic scene on Broadway.
No kidding.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, the dog was just running around backstage and saw Mommy out there on the stage and just came out and joined the cast. Jessica had to walk off the stage so her dog would follow. Her dog, by the way, has three legs.
Well, that wasn't distracting.
There's no way. No way not everyone in the theater didn't stop and just stare at the three-legged dog hopping around on stage.
That just made the story so much better.
That's why live theater is great.
Apparently, Jessica got the animal at a rescue, and she even brought Chaplin, her little dog, out for the final bows at the end of the
encore. That's funny.
She came out because she recognized everyone had a strong memory of Chaplin, the three-legged dog, hobbling around on stage with her. So that happened. Today's celebrity birthdays. February 6th, the following celebrities were born. Chris Humphries, Mr. Kim Kardashian. They're still married, you know.
Yep.
I don't care if she's carrying the spawn of Kanye. That's a marriage. That's a sacred union. That is until death do we part, those two. Or until Chris gets a big enough check.
Yeah.
27 years old today. Allison Hayslip from Attack of the Show and The Voice. She does all the backstage interviews for Carson over there in The Voice. 32 years old. Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses is 51. Kathy Najimy is 56 years old. Very funny on King of the Hill, and she was in Veronica's Closet for many seasons. Robert Townsend is 56 years old. TV journalist Tom Brokaw turned 73. Rip Torn from The Larry Sanders Show and Men in Black is 82. Have a cocktail, Rip. Zsa Zsa Gabor is 96 years old today, but the reason we celebrate today, by far, singer Rick Astley.
Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna
Eric is 47 years old today. Let's call him up, see what's in his fridge.
It's not.
Or whatever the hell you guys did that time.
We did What's Up with Rick Astley.
What's it was the feature, Ralph, Astley. Please.
Yeah,
and,
sorry.
And we were
I
shocked.
I didn't mean to tarnish the
Do
magic
Do not besmirch
was...
the great feature of the Kevin Abed Show.
What's up with
Rick Astley? Yeah.
We were shocked back in the 90s to call Rick and find out that he was independently wealthy, set for life, never had to do another thing as long as
what?
He lived. What? Yes. Because we figured, you know, he was probably working at a Wendy's by now or something like that. He was doing great.
You guys got Rickrolled.
We did. Yeah. Maybe so.
It'd be great if the phone picked up and then, never gonna give you up.
No! Damn it! You got Rickrolled!
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Adam Carolla joins us later on today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, this might be an outstanding time to mention that Kevin and Bean are Adam's special guest on his live podcast tonight at the Amalfi Ristorante and Bar, excuse me, which is on at 143 North La Brea Avenue. Kevin, you're going to be there in person.
Yep.
I'm going to be there through the miracle of technology, but if you want to come out and get yourself some mangria and watch a little live podcast action with Adam Carolla and Bald Brad and Allison, we're all going to be there. That's tonight at Amalfi's in Los Angeles. You can get the details at adamcarolla.com, but I hope you can come out. It'd be a lot of fun to see you.
All right. Jonesy, welcome to the studio.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Well, we appreciate you getting up early. We know this isn't your favorite time of day, being a big rock star and now radio star.
Yeah, that's true. Usually, you know, I'm only getting up, well, not anymore, but I'm only getting up this time in the morning when I would be out with friends,
right,
engaging in
it's not really,
the ingestion of
right.
substances.
Yeah, yeah, you're out not partying with your friends, okay.
What okay. you would say
that's not the,
are
okay.
technically
all right, thank you.
Legal
thank you, Jonesy.
In a sense that,
okay,
you
okay.
know,
we want to give away tickets
you'd
to
need a
Muse.
Doctor's prescription for most
Your
of the things.
Stories
that we
are
would
lengthy.
Take in
drinking and drugs. Okay, we got that. But you don't do that anymore. You're
just
clean now.
Not
you're
just
sober.
Drinking.
Right. But okay. But drugs
other
too.
Forms
right.
of taking substances.
Understood.
Into
a bit of a
the
tangent.
Body,
okay. Let's move on. So
anything you could take it in your nose.
You okay. We got it. You, Jonesy.
Rectum.
You love the Grammys.
You
the Grammys
put it in your tea and drink it.
Okay. The Grammys are happening this Sunday
like
night.
A biscuit.
Okay. Okay.
That's not important. Don't worry
We've
about
established
it.
That. That's fine. That's okay. So you love the Grammys, but you also are a historian of the Grammys, and we have callers on the line yeah. who are going to try to stump you with Grammy trivia. If they do, they go into the drawing to win tickets to the pre-Grammy party with Muse Friday night. You understand all that, right?
I am completely
Stop asking him questions.
Understanding everything you've been
all
saying.
Right. I need to play this. You can ask Jonesy.
That may be the best one he's ever done.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. All right, I won't ask why you're such a Grammy
nope.
historian.
Well,
just assume
my love
that you're
Grammys
didn't,
he didn't ask.
Back, well, he
I didn't ask. I'm not asking.
Well,
yeah.
No,
I said I'm not going
to
ask.
Goes
I'm not
back
gonna
to
because we don't have that kind of time.
Late 70s.
That's fine. Let's table that and go to our first contestant. Let's go to Steve. He's on line one.
Steve.
So again, Jonesy, he's going to ask you a question.
That's my name, too.
Right, that's also his
I
name,
remember
that's
when
fine.
I was in grade school.
Nope, we don't have time for that. Let's talk to another
who
Steve.
Also had the name Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing?
And we
doing
were
today?
Always being confused.
Well, we're having trouble with Jonesy today, to tell you the truth.
Would
so.
Say Steve, and I'll turn around. And so
all right,
he,
Jonesy,
both
listen up.
Around.
Would you mind
Steve's
just
going
the next thing you know, we're looking both at the
Steve's
going to
ask a question.
Like,
just
oh,
shut
look.
Up!
Well, that's
all right,
rude,
go ahead,
isn't it?
It is rude. Steve, what's your question?
Hey, what was the first year that the Best New Artist was awarded for the Grammys?
Well, let me see.
Good question. Oh.
I remember that year because it was the same year I had purchased a guitar.
What year was it?
And it was a unique guitar because
no,
it
don't
had
need
been
the details on the guitar, just the year.
Left-handed guitar.
What year
that
did
they
you
restrung?
When did you buy
for
that guitar?
A right-handed guitar player.
Right. What year was
and
that,
in
Jonesy,
order
do you
to
recall?
Play it. I used to have to hold it upside down when I first used it.
And that would have been when?
And that was the year that
yes.
I bought that guitar.
Right, but what calendar year
answer
was
given.
It?
That's answer given.
Steve, is the answer the year that Jonesy bought a guitar?
No, that is incorrect.
Oh, I'm so sorry. What's the right answer?
It's Bobby Darin. He sang Splish Splash.
And what year was that?
1959.
Oh, yeah. All right. Thank you.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath.
Right. That's the right song. Yeah. Steve, the more importantly, Steve stumps Jonesy.
Night, Jonesy, we'd like to get the more than just
about
Steve,
bath
if you don't mind.
Bombs. Are you familiar with the bath bomb?
Bath bomb.
Bath bomb. Is
that doesn't involve.
Is that B-A-L-M or B-O-M-B?
Bath.
B-A-T-H.
Bath.
Oh, okay.
Bomb. B-O-M-B.
Okay.
And you put it in the water.
Right.
And it becomes. Like it We'd starts like to fizz.
Can we please take some more okay. calls?
And it releases.
We don't have time
a
for this.
Fragrance
sorry.
into your bath water. It's like you can have lavender.
All right,
or you
let's
can
go
have,
to
I
let's
know,
go to Eric.
Primrose,
on line three.
I think, is an option.
You all right, have, hold, stand by, Jonesy. Let's go to Eric on line three because he has a very timely question that has been in the news a lot lately, and I think Jonesy, you might even get this one. Eric, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good luck.
Morning. What's going on, guys?
Morning.
Stump Jonesy.
All right. Having a voice like maple syrup. How many Grammys has Justin Bieber won?
Justin Bieber.
Yes. How many Grammys?
You know, it was funny. I went to an event where Justin Bieber was also there.
Did he tell you how many Grammys
and
he's
so
won?
So I looked across the room, and there he is with his baseball cap and his wife beater T-shirt.
Did you have a conversation where he talked about all the Grammys he won?
Justin, we should have a conversation because I think you're going down the wrong road.
Okay, how many Grammys? That may be true, but how many Grammys
drinking,
has Bieber won?
I think he was drinking Sizzup. And
how many has he won, though, Jonesy? Do you have the answer to the caller's question?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
How many Grammys?
How many Grammys?
Has Justin Bieber won?
Justin Bieber has won no Grammys.
No Grammys.
No Grammys is what you say.
Is that right?
Zero.
No, oh, what a bummer.
That is correct. Oh, you didn't stump Jonesy. Jonesy, the point is they're supposed to stump you.
I thought we must have one or two or something.
No, that's why he's throwing a big tantrum all the time because he never gets nominated for Grammys.
Well, how about that? I'm right.
Sorry about that. Well, all right, let's go to
how
Monica.
Many pairs of tickets do you have to give away?
Well, just one.
Away do we have one. A winner?
Well, we do, but we'd like to.
Shut the F up.
We'd like to do a drawing.
Would you like to do a drawing?
We would like to. Let's go to Monica. She is on line
Sorry,
five.
I don't cheat like you people want me to cheat.
You just
Monica.
Cheat.
I don't believe in it.
Hello.
Welcome to Stump Jonesy. Good luck. He's Monica. On fire today.
This isn't Monica Lewinsky, is it?
No.
Good, because I met her at a party once.
Don't want to hear about it. All right, Monica, what's your question?
What rapper is considered a double threat and has won an Oscar and a Grammy and a bunch of Grammys?
Well, first of all, I resent you calling rappers threats just because they're black. I don't believe that they're threatening just because
that's
they're black.
That's not what she meant at all. She meant multi-talented.
She called him a threat.
But that just means she's...
She's racist is what it means. And I don't like it. Because I remember, look, when I grew up, right, we had a lot of friends that were black.
Right, but that's
and
not
I
relevant at all to this question.
Threatened by none of them.
A double threat means because, you're good on two
oh,
different...
Oh, twice as threatening. Oh, he must be a big black fella.
No. Okay, what rap artist won a Grammy and an Oscar in the same year, Jonesy? That's the question.
Same year.
Yes.
Oscar Grammy and an Oscar.
Yes.
Right, that's
that
your
would
question.
Be Jennifer Hudson.
Why do you think Jennifer Hudson is a rap artist?
Well, she's black, isn't she?
What's wrong with you?
Well, I thought that's what we're talking about.
Monica, no. Is it Jennifer Hudson?
Monica.
It's Eminem.
Eminem is what we were looking for.
He's not
there.
Even black.
Right.
Well,
the question is not about race. It's not about race.
It was a trick question. I don't like being
race
tricked.
Race had nothing to do with
I'm
it.
I'm about to walk right out of here.
I hope you are.
I don't like your attitude, Steve. And I don't like being tricked. First she says black people are threatening, and then
she
the answer is a white
that.
Guy.
She said nothing like that. All right, Steve is in the drawing. Monica's in the drawing. Only one can win tickets to the K-Rock pre-Grammy party with Muse on Friday
I say
night.
Give
Lisa.
It to Norman.
Norman,
who's not even on the air.
He's not on the air.
Not on the air.
Oh, that's
the
right.
Winner is Monica.
Monica. Yay!
Monica.
Congratulations, Monica.
Thank you.
You racist.
You get to see Muse right up.
Ralph, do you think Kevin is more likely to be the shiver or the shivy when he goes to federal prison?
I think Kevin is most likely to fall on his own shiv. He will.
I'm not going to federal prison.
Do we have any kind of contingency plan for losing the monkey for 2 to 4 years, which is what it's starting to look like is going to happen here soon?
If you can do the show from an island, he certainly can do a show from his cell.
I don't think that's a good idea in case things are going down.
You and Bubba need some alone time.
You know what I mean?
We'll just pot you down. We don't need to listen to everything. We're not perverts.
All right.
Here's an update for the listeners who don't know why Kevin is going away.
I'm not going away
to prison. But the state of California has certainly given him fair warning. Wouldn't you say, Ralph? It's not like this is a surprise when they come and lead him away in handcuffs.
No, when they write you a letter and say you're one of California's worst drivers, I think they're telling you to clean up your act and drive more carefully and do not break any more laws.
That was the most insulting letter I've ever received.
Kevin really got that letter.
I did.
Yes.
And I was am really upset.
And it still didn't stop you from breaking traffic laws and getting more tickets.
Again, yes.
Look, how many of you have not gone 66 miles an hour? You, Ralph?
Everyone.
You
everybody has gone 66.
Oh, how about that? We all break the law.
20.
Not in a 20.
Oh.
But why were you so insulted when they didn't just randomly mail it to you. They mailed it to you because your driving record suggested that what they were saying was true, is that you were among the worst drivers in the state.
It was handwritten by the governor of California. That's how you should have known. That it was crayon. Specific to you.
I have gotten a few tickets.
Recidivism.
It's really been the only year and a half. Basically, that I've just been nailed. Before that, nothing.
You're collecting them like trading cards now.
Yeah, for some reason, I got zeroed in on, and now everywhere I go.
You got zeroed in on.
It must be a drone.
It's the man. The man is picking on you.
They must be following me with a drone.
So you're the victim here.
Yes.
Somebody else is making you drive that fast and run stoplights and whatever else it is you're doing. Is it all speeding?
Me not drive fast. I'm an excellent driver.
Is it all speeding or is it other things too?
It's not all speeding. I don't drive drunk, Ralph.
What have you tickets for what causes?
The first one was it got mailed to me. It was one of those running a red light, and I was in, I don't know, some hellhole, Bakersfield or someplace like that.
Okay, so because it was in Bakersfield, a city you don't care for, it's okay to run a red light?
No, not legal.
Sounds like your defense.
Not legal if farms are nearby.
I wasn't aware of that part of the law.
It is true.
I didn't say that. And then there was a speeding on the freeway. But this one, listen to this. Tell me if this isn't BS. So you're getting off the freeway, and then you turn left onto the street, and it's a downhill.
Mm-hmm.
Speed limit's 25. I was going 40.
My brakes no work downhill.
No, but I mean, it's like 25. It's only a school zone.
It's only 40% over the posted speed limit.
But I'm saying it was downhill.
It was downhill. The speed limit doesn't apply.
If you go downhill. Uphill speeding only when you nailed it, Quirky.
All right, go ahead.
Talking on my cell phone. But I don't think that's a point, right? The whole talking on your cell phone thing?
I don't know, actually.
I don't know either.
Got pulled over for that.
Okay.
And then I got carpool lane.
That's a dick move.
Bean always says that's a dick
move.
It is
a dick move.
Let me explain something to you people. Please. Was willing to risk a ticket to go in the carpool lane. Now, I got one, okay. But it was one fewer car you have to deal with. What do you
care? Not if I'm in the carpool lane, it's not.
I'm not slowing down the carpool lane. I'm speeding up the carpool lane, my friend. Why would this make you so angry, Bean?
Because if you got one ticket in the carpool lane, that probably means you were in the carpool lane 10 other times.
And I was out of everybody else's
dick
way.
Move. That carpool lane doesn't work if everybody drives in it.
Everybody doesn't.
Because they're not supposed to. Because they shouldn't. Because they're not allowed. Because it's against the law.
And then the latest was a speeding ticket again on the freeway.
That's a lot in a year and a half, my friend.
You're the worst driver.
I'm a really good driver.
You're so much worse than I thought.
I'm a
really good
driver.
How could you possibly say that?
I could possibly drive NASCAR. That's how good
that
I am.
Is that five or six?
You know why? Because there's no speed limit on NASCAR.
There's no red lights.
You're breaking the laws. You're not a good
driver. By the way. Is that five or six tickets? I lost track. How many is it? Is it five or six?
Well, I don't know exactly the timing if all of them are still on my record.
I cannot count to six.
Every one of them is for a different offense. Doesn't that say volumes to you guys?
All of them are for a different offense.
I think if a cop followed him every day, he could give him a ticket every day.
All day long.
Yeah.
He would like a phone book of tickets by the end of a month. You're constantly breaking the law. These are the ones you're caught for. I can't imagine what you're doing when no one is catching you.
I'm bending the laws.
No, you are
breaking them. These laws aren't brittle.
You're shattering them. You're dipping them in liquid nitrogen until they are just rock solid, and then you're taking a bazooka and blasting them.
That's just not true.
Let me ask this question. We are going to have an expert who's going to come on from the traffic defenders who can help us out, at least understand what's likely to happen to Kevin. But let me ask you this question. Maybe this analogy works. Maybe it doesn't, Kevin. If I introduced you to a guy who
who's been arrested shoplifting 11 times.
Right.
And he claimed he was a great shoplifter.
I would ask, would you, how many would times you agree? Did you, I would ask, how many times did you get away with it?
But is he a great shoplifter if he's been arrested for shoplifting 11 times?
No, but I've never been arrested. I don't even understand the relation to this.
The relationship is that you're breaking the law and getting tickets for thing after thing, yet you still claim to be a great driver.
I am a great driver.
You can't have both. You can't have five tickets in a year and a half and be a great driver.
I do not believe anyone can lift an entire shop.
Kevin, God damn it. Every f***ing time,
right,
Kevin. God f***ing damn it, serious.
Right. I understand the point of lifting a shop and driving. I'm an excellent driver on the outside office, not one in the main one.
What you're doing is funny, but I do not drive drunk. That's one thing I will stand by.
You live drunk, my friend. You live drunk. Thanks a lot for tuning in today. Lee Rittenberg is our friend from TrafficDefenders.com. TrafficDefenders.com. And I will have to say that out of all the guests that we get here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the one that the most people email us about randomly throughout the year when they need him is Lee Rittenberg. How many times, Kevin, have you gotten that email that goes, hey, what's the name of that dude?
Yeah, and you know why? Because we can never remember what he says.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like you get pulled over and you go, oh, I heard that guy. He was talking about somehow the way of getting out of tickets, but I can't remember what he said.
Hi, Lee. Welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Try to be more memorable today.
It's not you, but I mean, it's just difficult to remember that long.
Under pressure, right, when you've got the man there with a flashlight and a gun. So were you listening a few minutes ago to K-Rock when Kevin was giving us his tale of woe about all the tickets he's gotten in the last 18 months?
I hear he's going to jail. His license is getting suspended.
No,
he's losing
stop
his
it.
Job, his house, his wife, his boat.
My boat. I'm losing my boat. I didn't even have one.
Anything but that.
That's a preemptive strike.
How many tickets do you have to get before they take away your driver's license? Or how many points, maybe more accurately, Lee, before they say, no, you no longer have the right to drive in this state?
Great question. 4 points in any 12-month period suspends a person's license for 6 months.
All right, so I think that some of mine were longer than 12 months.
Right, well, 6 points in any 24-month period suspends a person's license for 6 months, and 8 points in a 36-month period suspends a person's license for 6 months.
That's
but you might want to fight a suspension, because just like fighting a ticket, good things can happen at a DMV hearing. For example, you can win the hearing so your license doesn't end up being suspended at all. You can sometimes at a DMV hearing get a restricted privilege so you can still drive in the course and scope of your employment to and from work.
Right.
Or you can sometimes shorten the 6 month suspension. Once I got one down from 6 months down to 3 weeks. The person went on a vacation to Hawaii, came back 3 weeks later, and it was like his license had never been suspended.
Sweet.
So Kevin has to go to Hawaii. Is that the takeaway from this?
He has to avoid 4 points in a 12-month period is what he's going to do.
Don't a lot of people, once their licenses are suspended, don't they just keep on driving anyway, figuring that as long as they don't get in any more trouble, no one will ever know whether their license is valid or not?
Yes, they do. And if you're caught, well, driving on a suspended license is a misdemeanor. It's a 2-point ticket. It's jail. They can impound your car on the spot. The fine can be upwards of $4,000, and you can be put on probation. So if you get your driver's license suspended, you really don't want to drive. And if you have to drive, boy, you really want to fly beneath the radar.
This is the voice of Lee Rittenberg here on the Kevin and Bean Show from TrafficDefenders.com. You know, I'm starting to think from Kevin and from other friends I have that have been getting tickets lately, am I wrong, or are more tickets being handed out now because California is in dire financial straits? And Lee, are the tickets costing more now than they used to?
Yeah, they keep on going up in price. I've seen them over $500 for these photo red camera type tickets. I don't have any information on to whether or not any more are being given out, but I wouldn't doubt it given the fact that these municipalities are just strapped for money in these tough budgetary times.
I drove the same way that I drove the last year and a half for the last 10 years. And really only in the last year and a half have I been caught pretty much doing everything.
Well, maybe it just means you just got caught.
Well, I know, but what are the it's odd that it all started happening at once.
It does seem
like
they
really
stepped
change
it up, yeah.
I mean, I've always been a great driver. I didn't really change that.
Lee, I don't know if you pass any moral judgments on your clients, but what's your opinion of people who single drivers in the carpool lane? Does that bug you?
Yes, no, he's a dick.
You could say yes.
I kind of wish I had enough nerve to do it myself.
Look, here's the thing. Again, I'll say, if I'm in the carpool lane, I'm not in your way, Bean. So
look,
how does that make you mad?
Because the carpool lane doesn't work if every car decides they want to drive in the carpool lane. All of a sudden, the carpool lane, there's no advantage to being in a carpool at that point. That's why. That's
but
the question you should often be asking.
But you understand
yourself.
That your supposition, which is that everybody's going to do anything, is absurd and never going
to
happen.
But I think a great question to ask in lots of things in life is, what would happen if everybody did what
right.
I think I should do?
That's a stupid way of looking at it, because that will never, ever happen.
How expensive is that ticket, Lee?
It's a very expensive ticket. I think it's
$340.
One of the things that I think people get most tripped up about, Lee, when we hear from them and they're asking for your name again, is the whole, how do I go to court and figure out a way that I can miss my traffic officer, the guy that wrote me the ticket? Because they know that that's the secret, is if you can get there and he doesn't show up, then you're dismissed, right? Because there's nobody against you.
That's right. Well,
how do you go about doing that? I mean, is it that you keep changing the date or postponing or trying to get the venue changed? What do you recommend?
Well, on the ticket, on the face of the citation, the officer will sometimes write his vacation dates.
What?
And if you can, sometimes he just writes the word passed, like his vacation date is passed. But that gives you an inkling that if you can kick it for another 8 months, that it might roll around again. And if you can schedule it during his vacation dates, then, you know, you've obviously got a better chance that he won't show up. Sometimes, though, they'll show up in their plain clothes because they've still been subpoenaed, and if they don't go anywhere on their vacation, sometimes they still get pressure from their higher-ups to appear on their subpoenas.
Lee, if they're writing as many tickets as it seems like they are, how do they have time to be in court for every single one?
Ooh, great question.
How are they not? They wouldn't spend any time out on the road then.
Well, that's part of their job, and they get overtime, in fact, if they are there more than 4 hours. So a lot of them like to be there because they're not on the street where they're in harm's way, and they actually sometimes get overtime for being in court. But if they do have a training or something or a personal emergency, you know, they do not show, and you will get your ticket dismissed in those kind of situations.
What do the judges and the law enforcement in courtrooms that you appear in, Lee, think about you as a traffic defender? Do they think that you're there just making their jobs difficult, mucking things up, or do they just accept, hey, everybody has a right to representation in our country?
I think most of them are the latter. I think most judges realize that this is the exercise of our rights here in the United States, and they appreciate the fact that, you know, I've kind of carved out a niche. Now there is such a thing as traffic law. 20 years ago when I started, I was the only suit in court. Now, you know, there's more of us, and it's sort of become a genre in the practice of law.
Does it matter which court I go to? Like, are some easier to get out of the ticket than others?
Yes, some courts will allow you to do dispositions, that is, to reduce your point ticket to a 0 point ticket.
Can I just go to one of those?
Well, no, you can't.
Why?
You can't engineer. Well, there is something called requesting the county seat. The county seat is a courthouse usually located in the largest city in the county. So if you live or work closer to the county seat courthouse than you do to the court in the area where you got the ticket, you can request the trial be held at the county seat courthouse.
I should do courthouse. That.
So, for example, if you get a ticket in Needles, just inside the Nevada border, you can that's still in San Bernardino County, so you can request your ticket be held in San Bernardino proper.
What's the best one?
Officer to travel 150 miles to prosecute the case against you, and it's less likely he or she will do so. But, caveat, you have to make that request at the time the citation is issued.
Oh,
I see.
So it's already too late.
Kevin, you need to start insisting on the Honolulu county seat. Officer, I'm happy to meet you in court, but we got to do it in Honolulu. I'm sorry.
Not in L.A. County, I'm afraid.
Oh, darn it.
Oh, that's too bad.
All right. Well, we're out of time, Lee. It's fascinating to me how much you know about this topic. And, you know, we've had you on a number of times over the years, and I know you keep up with all the very latest. And a lot of people say, hey, why do I need to even get an attorney for tickets? It's because they cost a lot of money, and these points do stay on your record for a long time. And why not, right? So let me give out the toll-free number, although traffic defenders.com is probably the easiest thing to remember. Here's Lee's number if you want to call him. 1-800-210-2010. 1-800-210-7477. Again, 1-800-210-7477. And Lee, I guess the next time we see you is going to be in court when Kevin's being led away in handcuffs, right?
I'd love to help him if he wants me.
I'm not going to be led away in handcuffs.
Or whatever. I'm
going to give me a citation for being such a good driver.
Thanks, Lee. We enjoyed talking to you, sir.
Thank you.
Got that great song from Atlas Genius called Trojans coming up. Also some Soundgarden, Muse, and Linkin Park next hour here on The Kevin Devine Show. Adam Carolla joins us just after 9. Right now, Ralph Garman's here with the show. Busy beat. Morning, Ralph.
Let's say you're in a bar.
You're in a bar.
And suddenly you look up.
And suddenly you look up.
And in walks Jonah Hill, Gerard Butler, Leonardo DiCaprio, Mel Gibson, and Bradley Cooper.
Really?
That's a hell of a joke, isn't it? So anyway, Jonah Hill, Gerard Butler, Leonardo DiCaprio, Mel Gibson, and Bradley Cooper walk into a bar. And the bartender says, "Do me."
Is this after the Golden Globes or something?
No, this was a nightclub in Miami.
What?
What? Last Friday, New York Post is reporting that patrons were stunned, as you can imagine, when those five guys walked in rolling together.
What?
Sounds like
what?
Sounds like they're making a caper film or something. They're casing the joint. It was a joint called The Story. And the crowd all got wet by shooting off a 4-foot water gun. It's one of those kind of clubs in Miami where everybody dances and the lights go nuts and they squirt each other down with water. And it's like a wet t-shirt contest, only everyone's entering.
And there's foam.
And there's foam.
Love it.
And then there's Jonah Hill, Gerard Butler, Leonardo DiCaprio, Mel Gibson, and Bradley Cooper.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio was there too, yes.
Do you have anything you want to talk about? Or?
Yeah, I'll just do some more stories. Romance and celebritydom is in the air. Olivia Wilde, of course, is engaged to Jason Sudeikis of Saturday Night Live. Really? Seriously?
Anyone? Olivia Wilde?
Yeah. Anyone have an explanation for that?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
No, he must have money.
However, there may be a price to pay being involved with Olivia. The story from the tabloids this week is that she agreed to accept his proposal, but only if he let her rummage through his home and remove all remnants of ex-girlfriends. Apparently she has a bit of an insecurity streak.
Wow.
And she went through his closets, drawers, and got rid of every memento, picture, what have you, of former flames and purged his home.
That's a giant red flag.
Of it memories sure is. Of any other women.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look, yeah. Lock up the knives, Jason.
Olivia Wilde just went from a 10
wow.
to about an 8.
Really? All
that's
the way
all?
Down to an 8, huh?
That's all, yeah.
Well, I mean, you got to still look at her. She's got a lot to go on the other side of that ledger, too.
That bitch is crazy.
But she's like, fine, okay, but I'm going through your house. I'm taking everything away that reminds you of any other woman.
Wow.
Next thing you know, there's shackles involved, and you're in the basement.
That seems
everybody's,
bad.
Hey, whatever happened to Jason? Anybody talked to Jason lately?
That takes her from a 10 to about a 4 for me.
Sliding it.
Shut the stop, you crazy bitch.
Flying a tin plate with his food under the door. And he's got a beard like Howard Hughes.
I agree. She's down to like an 8.8 for me after hearing how crazy she is.
You know who may have moved up from a 10? Amber Heard.
Oh yeah. She's a good deal.
Word is that Johnny Depp is nursing a big, fat, broken heart. Friends are saying he truly believed his Rum Diaries co-star Amber Heard was his soulmate. He thought that was the next big love of his life, but she ended the relationship because she reportedly has fallen in love with a French model named Marie Duvillepin.
She does go back and forth.
Yes, she does.
Amber Heard.
She does like
plays
to...
plays both sides.
She likes to...
sample both platters?
Yes. Even if it's a poo-poo platter. I don't even know what that means.
The salute to tuna.
Can you really be mad, though, if you're Johnny Depp and Amber Heard leaves you for a smoking hot French model?
No, that's kind of... No.
No, you can't, right?
No.
So you gotta do it. And sad news. Sylvester Stallone has quit Twitter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was so enjoying his... Oh, wait.
He is not tweeting anymore. He's canceled his Twitter account. I used to tweet, says Stallone, but it's an act of futility. You're not really making any impact. Might be a great promotional tool, but it's just to make small talk. It's crazy. You find yourself in a mood where you want to be a bit controversial and you post something and suddenly you realize, oh, God, because you've opened yourself up to a bunch of criticism from strangers. I used to follow Stallone.
Did you?
And he would constantly just argue with people.
Really?
Yeah, if you said anything against him or anybody, he'd just come at you and guns a-blazing. Big, long lists of tweets of him having arguments with people.
I love it.
So Sly, I guess, doesn't want to fight the big fight.
It's over?
He's over.
It's over. Nothing is over! Nothing!
It's over.
You just don't turn it off!
You do. You just turn it off. You just cancel your Twitter.
I love that.
Why doesn't Bean get that?
Bean,
that would be cool.
Stop.
Hey, I can hear you guys.
What?
I can hear you guys.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Chris Humphries, who is still married to Kim Kardashian. It's really not fair to say that their marriage only lasted 72 days, really,
because they're still married.
Going on and on. Allison Hayslip from Attack of the Show. She's 32 years old. Rick Astley.
Does anybody know how that Rickrolling thing got started and why?
I do not know the origin of the Rickroll.
I don't remember anymore. Bizarre thing that everybody got into.
I'm going to have to hop on Wikipedia and see what they say about that stuff. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
By the way, you know the kid who is making out with Bar Raffaelli in the Super Bowl commercial?
Yep.
Your hero?
He's got his tongue all over my woman.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Or your mortal enemy, I guess. He's one of the two.
Right.
His name is Jesse Hyman. He is a Los Angeles-based actor. We're talking to him tomorrow. He's going to be on the show tomorrow.
Took him 45 minutes to shoot that scene.
Yep.
Come on.
Should have taken him 45 days, what I say. Also, comedian Jim Jeffries on the program tomorrow. And the real Jonesy, Steve Jones, who does Jonesy's Jukebox Sunday nights here on K-Rock, is going to be joining us in studio tomorrow, too. He's got a bunch of TV things coming up, including being a recurring cast member on Californication on Showtime. So we'll talk to the real Jonesy. Not to suggest we ever talk to anyone other than the real Jonesy. That's all tomorrow right here on the world-famous K-Rock.
So sometimes it's hard to break the news to somebody. You know, people have secrets, and it's really difficult, especially, for example, the last 10 to 15 years, if you were gay, telling your parents, telling your friends can be a super difficult thing.
I hope that that's getting easier
for
people as it's more commonplace and there are a lot more people that are out than it seems like there used to be. But depending on your personal situation, yeah, I can imagine that would be an extremely difficult thing to come out and tell your family.
So one girl told her mom and dad that she's gay by baking a cake. And on the cake it says, "I'm gay." And then there's a note next to it that explains, you know, all my friends know. And I
here,
just...
I'll read the note.
Okay.
The note, I think, is very beautiful and very touching. And the first reaction that I had when I saw this cake was, you know, for a gay person, this should be way better color coordinated, this cake. I was really impressed.
It does look like special needs cake.
A little bit. I would have more expected a note that said, "I'm six." But in fact, no, she's a grown-ass woman coming out as gay. Here's what the note says. "Good morning, parents. I'm gay. I've wanted to tell you for a long time. I thought doing it this way would be a piece of cake.
See?
That's great, right? Yeah. I hope you still love me." And that just breaks my heart, by the way, to even read that she wrote that line. "I hope you still love me. I mean, it's hard not to love someone who baked you a cake." Which, by the way, is an excellent point.
That's true.
If Osama bin Laden had baked a cake, I almost feel like the SEAL Team 6 would have said, "Come on, he's not that bad." "All my friends know and still love me. Your acceptance would be the icing on the cake." Now, I feel at this point she's overdoing the cake puns.
I agree. Yeah. Too many cake puns.
"I hope you, much like this cake, are..."
Not in tears.
Not in tears.
Yeah.
T-I-E-R-S. That confused me. "I hope we can look back on this and say, boy, this one really takes the cake." All right, stop with the cake already.
You made a cake. Back off.
You made a cake. "It gets better," she says. "Love, Laurel." So that's the note that she left for her parents. So they came down into the kitchen, and there was a cake that said, "I'm gay," in frosting on the cake. And look, I think that is a super creative way to kind of break the ice, or break the icing, as Laurel would say, and get the conversation started and kind of get into it, you know, ease into it in a lighthearted way. But it got us thinking about other ways that people break difficult news, because sometimes you just don't have the strength to sit down in front of somebody and look them in the eye and tell them whatever the news is. "I effed up at work.
I got fired.
I got fired. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I cheated. I wrecked the car. I dropped out of college. I mean, there's just a million things that are generally bad news that are just tough to have those conversations about.
There's millions of stories of people dropping out of college or getting kicked out of college. Their parents still think 6 months later they're in college.
Yeah.
Yes.
What have you been doing?
By the way, Dave just corrected me. The note from Laurel does not end with "it gets better." I'm sorry. Her handwriting flummoxed me. "It gets better" is what she said.
B-A-T-T-E.
Now you've turned on her.
We're fine that you're gay, her parents said, but man, do we hate your sense of humor.
Don't ever write another note. So we want to hear stories from you if you had unusual or, I guess, creative ways to break the news to somebody. I mean, look, we see stories on the news all the time about people who find out they're divorcing on Facebook, for instance, from their spouse. I mean, that's the example of the type of thing that we're looking for. But if you've ever done anything that's been kind of creative or unusual, or you figured out a way around the difficult conversation to tell somebody something, I think there might be some good stories in that. I think those would be fun to hear, don't you guys?
Yeah, and most of the time you think, like, it's best to tell someone in person, but then there's interrupting, and maybe you don't say it quite right.
Right.
And then maybe you get into an argument, at least this way with the cake and the letter, at least she's able to put it all out there.
Right.
Without any interruptions. And then, make sure that it says what she wants it to say.
And then disappear for a few days.
And then go away to Hawaii for a couple of months. And then come back and change your name and get a new license.
I don't think that's the point here, no. But I think what she wants it to say is "it gets better." So maybe her parents need to disown her anyway. So we want to hear your stories of creative ways that you broke the news. You came up with a way to tell somebody something that was effective for you or that you thought would be. Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. Is the toll-free number. I don't know what we're going to get on this, but I am curious to hear what you have to say. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you. Take your calls next right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, coming up next in about 10 minutes or so, we've got highlights of a TV interview with a guy who has been injecting poisonous snake venom into his veins for more than 20 years. Why? Who knows?
Some of the most deadliest, too.
Yes. Crazy, crazy, craziness. He should be on that My Strange Addiction show on TLC. But anyway, we got that coming up. First up, talking about the young lady named Lauren who came out to her parents by baking a cake, leaving an "I'm gay" cake in the kitchen for them to find when they came into the kitchen that morning. And we're talking about creative and unusual ways that you broke the news to someone. In other words, you had a difficult conversation that you weren't looking forward to having face-to-face, so you figured out a way to kind of break the news to them in another way. However you did it, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Let's try, why don't we try Beth, for instance. Beth is on line 7. She'll get us going. 1-800-520-1067. Toll-free number. Hi, Beth. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. My mom and my stepfather didn't know we were trying to have a baby. So at their anniversary party, I had bought a frame that said grandparents, wrapped it up, and made sure it was the last present of the party. And when they opened it up, my mom just looked at it dumbfounded and couldn't believe what she was reading. Had to give it to my stepfather to read, and he had to give it back to her, and they were both just stunned.
Were they upset?
Or were they not getting it?
No, they just were not getting it at first, why we were giving them a frame that said grandparents.
And right.
Then all of a sudden they realized when we looked at each other, my mom and I just burst into tears over it. Then everybody at the party wanted to know what the heck was going on. And then when we told them, the whole party got excited and everything. Yeah. That's what we told them.
All right.
Hey, at least you had good news that you were breaking in a fun way for everybody. At least it wasn't, you know, breaking somebody's heart or something. So that was creative. That was awesome. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. All right, let's try Aaron, line 4. Aaron, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You broke the news. How?
Hey, in high school, I just got my first car. I'm not supposed to be driving around. Of course, in ditching school, I'm driving. I get in an accident. I come home. My mom's freaking out. In the middle of her screaming, I just go, you know what? I'm gay.
All right, now hold on. Now hold on a second. So she's angry about the accident. Were you gay?
Yeah.
Oh, you were? Okay. So you were gay. God. You had that in your back pocket just in case something worse came along.
Something really good.
That's awesome.
So all of a sudden, they got a big picture conversation to have, and they don't care that you wrecked the car.
Yeah, it just totally switched. And she was so cool about it. She was like, you know what? I wouldn't care if you hooked up with the whole cheerleading squad or the whole football team. You're awesome.
Was she really? She wouldn't care if you hooked up with the whole football team?
I mean, you know, the things you say, but, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. No, look, hey, that was awesome, by the way. And you were pretty smart to carry that around and have that in your back pocket. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Most people are afraid of how they're going to do it. Were you afraid?
I was more afraid of the car thing. She's pretty scary when she's upset.
All right, so you saved it for the appropriate time and just stunned her with it.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's brilliant.
Thank you for the call,
Thank you, Aaron. Here's one more from Elizabeth, who emails, "Hi, guys. My sister Vanessa was sick and tired of her BS part-time job at a clinic she worked at for several years. Her hours kept getting cut, so she called the reception desk, asked for their fax number. She called back a few minutes later, asked if they've received her fax. The receptionist said no. She had her stay on the line while she sent in another fax. Then she told the receptionist that she had just got a confirmation and asked if they got the fax. The receptionist said, oh, here it is. Yeah, I see something coming now. My sister then told him, great, that's my resignation letter. Bye.
Done.
That's a P.S. Please fire a beer mug or fax it as resignation. All right, Elizabeth. Hey! Will do. Thanks. All right. Here's just one more note on creative ways you broke the news. This is from Jacob. Thank you for listening. Thank you for writing, Jacob. My wife and I went on vacation with another couple. The other couple got into a fight and the husband went home early. My wife and I had a threesome with his wife after he left.
Fantastic.
2 years later, they split up and she asked me to serve her husband with the divorce papers. So I did the only logical thing. I took him out for drinks, started a conversation that led to the inevitable wife bashing, at which point I told him about the threesome and what a cheater she was. He responded, I should divorce her. I said, funny enough, and handed him the papers. We aren't friends anymore, says Jacob. That is pretty creative.
That is strong.
That's awesome. And you got a threesome out of the deal. Plus, you got to have all that fun. So, well done. All right. Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. Our friend Adam Carolla joins us in about a half an hour. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up. But first, we love that My Strange Addiction show on TLC. And I don't know if this man, Steve Ludwig, has been on it or not, but he should, because he seems to be addicted, guys, into injecting himself with deadly snake venom.
There's another show called Taboo that I think. Maybe that was from as
Maybe
well.
Maybe he's been on that? Okay.
He does it on purpose.
Yeah, he does. He does. And he – I want you to – we got a couple of minutes of tape from the interview, and I got this from the Vice website. But listen to how many bad decisions he makes in the course of the next couple of minutes that you're listening to Mr. Steve. I think you'll enjoy him very much. All right, here we go.
My name is Steve Ludwin, and I've been self-immunizing with various snake venoms for well over 20 years now.
By the way, that's first bad decision.
What's self-immunizing? You know, I'm kind of...
Meaning he's giving himself the shots.
Oh, okay. You know, I'm kind of embarrassed. I mean, I don't have that medical background. I don't even have a proper American high school education.
All right, that may be number two. Is I have no medical background.
There's been quite a few, doctors and scientists that have been horrified by my lack of, you know, having things that are sterile and stuff like that.
Okay, so he doesn't know what he's doing. He has no medical background. He's not using sterile equipment. Doctors are horrified. Don't all of those add up to, hey, Steve, bad idea?
You know what's funny is that he sounds perfectly happy, and he's accepting of all of that negativity.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
He's good.
He talks about how he first got started at the beginning, 20-something years ago, of injecting himself with snake venom. He was working at a reptile supply house. This is the place that you go to if you're a pet store or you're a zoo or someplace you want a poisonous snake. This is where you go. He got a job working there because he was interested in snakes.
I started bringing the venomous snakes home. My first time doing it was crazy. I had never even milked a snake before.
Okay. What? How?
Do they have others?
How? Why did they let him bring snakes home, number one?
Yes. That's and how one. Are you sitting there going, you know what? I brought this poisoned snake home. You know what I'm going to do now is I'm going to milk it, which means get it to release the venom from its mouth. And then I'm going to collect it and put it in a syringe and put it in my veins. That was the decision he made. He had no experience whatsoever with handling snakes.
Here's what's weird is that even if I'm around a snake, let's say I bring it home. That doesn't enter my mind. I don't have to think, should I inject venom or not?
Right.
This is a real quandary for me. I can't figure out. It never enters your mind.
And he doesn't even say, I went on YouTube and learned how to milk a snake. He just went for it. He just picked the snake up and went for it.
And I just kind of had to figure it out on my own. So what I would do is I would take a scalpel and scratch, like, you know, two little scratch marks into my arm. I would take a little bit of the venom and I would drop it into the cut. And you could feel it the first time. It was like, ah, that burns. I quickly washed it off. You know, because I was scared. I was like, what is this going to do? It kind of swelled up and, you know, my heart started pounding, not because of the venom, because it was like, oh my God, is this going to stop? Is it going to kill me? I had no idea.
I like that he knows his heart isn't pounding because of the venom.
Yeah.
He knows that.
But so here's my question. He sprinkles it onto the cuts. It stings. His heart starts racing. He thinks he's going to die.
Yes.
So he stopped.
His conclusion is, I'm going to keep doing this for the rest of my life.
How do you come to that conclusion?
Let's meet one of the snakes. What he does is he milks several snakes in the course of a day.
How do you milk them?
And then it's interesting kind of the way he does it is he uses a stick to kind of pin them down to the ground. Then he grabs the head of the snake with his hand and he puts the snake's mouth over a glass that has saran wrap over the top of it and kind of pushes the snake's face into the glass basically so that it bites.
Oh, okay.
And then the venom comes out on top of the saran wrap and then he puts it in a syringe. But he does a whole bunch of snakes and then mixes up a snake cocktail. And here he is describing one of the snakes that he's using this particular day that the camera is there.
This is the last hemotoxic snake that goes into my snake bite cocktail. This is called an eyelash viper. This is one of the scariest snakes that I own. This is the snake that bit me. The worst pain that I've ever had in my life. And I've had, you know, lots of accidents with venom. But
well, sure, of course you've had lots of accidents with venom because every day you're handling snakes.
Okay, so this guy has a snake that bit him and it's the worst pain he's ever felt in his life.
Yes.
And then he uses it for this cocktail.
Yes, every
day. Knowing that full well.
Exactly, yes, exactly.
It felt like you would put your hand down on a marble table and someone took a sledgehammer and smashed it onto your pinky. But the funny thing is that pain never subsided for 8 hours. And I had some scientists in the States saying, get yourself to the hospital. This is not a good snake to be bitten by. But I kind of waited it out. I had confidence.
Wait a second. So it's the most painful thing you've ever experienced. You have doctors and scientists who are saying, get to the hospital. And your decision is, and again, this is bad decision, guys, Steve Ludwig, I'm just going to wait it out.
And it's going on for 8 hours.
Yes, for eight hours.
6 hours in, don't you go, wow, I messed up.
Right, exactly.
That I was going to be okay, but it's a really aggressive snake, and it's really tricky to milk.
Well, it's really tricky to milk. It's really aggressive. So maybe don't. Maybe that's the conclusion I come to is don't.
I don't think he knows that word.
All right. Why is he living this life? Why does he spend every day milking snakes to inject the venom into his body? Because he thinks he gets phenomenal physical results from it. And here he is kind of testing out his new abilities.
I've been doing tests on my skateboard. I'm from my house into the West End. I see how fast I can get in there. I just use the roads. And I think the cobra venom helps with that. It's just sort of like I go in between cars. I go in between buses. I go in the middle of the road. I just cane it. I feel like I've got so much energy and speed. When I'm skating, I've learned to actually start moving like a snake. And I found myself just kind of using that S shape, carving and carving. And it actually starts giving you a little bit of power.
Okay.
Really, because no one ever figured that out about a skateboard before.
You've watched too much Spider-Man if you think you can get snake venom and you and all of a sudden you become a snake. Do you think it's assisting him physically at all?
I mean,
I don't know. I don't know what either. The effects are of snake venom, but I can't. I mean, really?
So he injects himself with snake venom and then he goes out and plays in traffic.
Yes.
On a skateboard.
Skateboards between cars and buses in traffic. What did I tell you at the beginning? Every decision this guy makes is the wrong one, right?
Yes.
Well, the guy that is his mentor is a guy named Bill Haas, and Steve is trying to live the life that Bill Haas led. Now, he apparently was healthy up until 100 years old, and that's what Steve is shooting for. And here's a little bit more about Bill.
He was treating people with polio, people with MS. He had like 4,000 patients. He had people that couldn't even walk, and with the right doses and the right ingredients of his, you know, medicines that contain various snake venoms, people, I've seen footage of it. They're like, they're playing basketball. But the FDA...
So he's treating people in wheelchairs who cannot walk with snake venom, and then they're playing basketball.
Yeah, I'm not buying that. Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening. But why is that science not in every hospital in America? Let's find out.
But the FDA heard about what he was doing and they shut him down. Even though he was having such success with it.
He was having nothing but success, you guys, but you know the FDA, you know the government, and they don't want people to get healthy. They just step in there and stop anything that's gonna help people. You know that. Well, what's the future for snake venom
death? I'm 46 now. I'll have to see how many years I can go on continuing doing this. But
You do think that it is quite taxing on the body.
You think?
It is possible in 2 years' time my kidneys fail
and
I die due to the venom of all those years, of all those toxins, all the swelling, all the decomposing flesh and the bruising. It all has to filter through your kidneys and your liver, and it's really bad stuff to be going through there.
Well, I
I'm going to stop it right now.
I think he's making the right decision based on all the observations he's having about how his body is being wrecked by snake venom. At least he's making the decision to come back tomorrow and do it again.
Wow.
He's fantastic.
How much did you love Steve Ludwig?
I love him so much.
The Ace Man joins us coming up right after the top of the hour here, Adam Carolla. Of course, we're going to be on the Adam Carolla podcast. Ralph, you're going to come down and see us tonight, support your team, right?
I'll be there.
Yeah, because, you know, Kevin is at every single Hollywood Babylon that you do.
No, we can't. We have a standing reservation for him. He's got his own booth.
Thank you.
At the Lubbock's.
So, yeah. The least you can do is show up and see us tonight with Adam.
I'm going to be there.
All right.
You'll probably won't see me. I'll be in the back. I'll be, like, hanging in the back. I don't want to. I don't want to attract attention from you guys and your show. So I'm just going to hang in the back, and I'll probably be in disguise. You probably won't even recognize me.
That's what I am.
But I'll be there.
That's the Hollywood Babylon. Disguise.
All right, we'll give you all the details when we talk to Adam coming up. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday.
Well, no matter what you thought about the GoDaddy.com commercial where smoking hot swimsuit model Bar Raffaelli was making out with nerd Jesse Hyman.
Who we're talking to tomorrow morning.
We're talking to Jesse?
Yep.
Oh, the luckiest tubby nerd in the show business.
I will tell you, no matter what he goes on to do with the rest of his acting career, he's already peaked. I know that.
No matter what you think about the commercial, and some people hated it, some people loved it. USA Today scored it the lowest score of all the Super Bowl commercials on its ad meter. It doesn't matter because GoDaddy.com is laughing all the way to the bank. As they say, sales the day following the Super Bowl were the biggest in the history of the company.
Wow. They've been advertising in the Super Bowl for how many years in a row?
Yep. A 45% jump in website hosting sales. Wow. .com domain name sales rose 40%. New mobile customers increased by 35%. In total, about 10,000 additional customers were added post that Super Bowl ad. So,
and that's only the day after, right?
That's just the day after. Who knows where it's going to go from now on? We'll have to wait and see. You know why I think people liked it? Because they didn't do that annoying effing thing they've always done, which is go to GoDaddy.com to see how this commercial ends.
That's true.
Does Danica Patrick take a quart of oil and stick it in her ear?
The answer is always no.
No. It frustrates people. I hate GoDaddy. This is positive because they gave you the grossness right up front.
I will tell you, though, you have to sell an awful lot of domain names for $6 a year or whatever they are to pay for $4 million in commercial ad time in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I agree, but that's only one day of...
Right.
You know, maybe
it may work out
high profile.
Listen, GoDaddy.com is a name we all know, right?
Yeah, they're the biggest name in the business.
Well,
absolutely.
There you go. So that's why, because they spend that kind of money. I don't see GoDaddy commercials really any other time of the year, so they probably save up their TV advertising budget for that one slam dunk.
And I'm glad they do.
And I am as well. The PTC, Parents Television Council, those religious right-wing wing nuts... They, as I mentioned, were filing a complaint with the FCC demanding that CBS be investigated for the F-bomb and S-bomb that slipped through the post-game celebrating on Sunday's Super Bowl. It's as if, you know, does the Parents Television Council think CBS gave Joe Flacco a script and say, hey, dude, say F here. That'd be really cool.
Read this. We need to get a message out.
It was obviously by accident. It's a live sporting event and stuff happens. How can they not recognize that and move on? Even if you're desperately trying to become offended, how can you not recognize that that is not an intentional creative choice?
Agreed.
Well, there's a great website called Government Attic that collects interesting paperwork from various governments, and they went through the Freedom of Information Act and got a file of complaints to the FCC about Saturday Night Live. All these complaints were filed between 2008 and 2012.
Well, that show is run by godless liberals. There's no telling what kind of filth they put on the air for our children at 11:30 at night.
That's for sure. Viewers were offended from everything from cursing to the sexual parody, you name it. But the people who are complaining, you can just learn so much about them just by reading the complaints.
Yeah.
Like the one who was complaining about a show hosted by Will Ferrell, who was complaining about a sketch that had Usher, Justin Bieber, and Justin Timberwolf. They did not think that was appropriate for television. Another complainant said, Our kids are getting the wrong message that weird sex and criminal behavior are good for this country. Yes, that message is constant.
That's the message?
Yes, absolutely.
So if you portray sex or bad behavior on television, you are endorsing it and recommending it to others?
Yes, telling children that's what's good for the country.
Okay, I didn't realize. I didn't make that connection. Okay.
Another complaint read, please quit allowing media to make humans stupid. I've been saying that.
Aren't humans already stupid?
I've been asking people to do that. Especially in Kevin's case for years.
How dare you?
Another complaint about Saturday Night Live. Lorne Greene ought to be ashamed of what he's allowed his show to deteriorate into.
Who?
Lorne Greene.
And he was the
actor
dad.
From Bonanza.
Yeah. He's been dead for like 20 years.
We assume this guy meant Lorne Michaels, creator and producer of Saturday Night Live. And my favorite, Jamie Foxx called for the killing of all white people. Jamie Foxx needs to be removed from society until this threat is over. Until all the white people can relax again. Because Jamie Foxx is coming after you. So, wow. Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Wow. The stupidity of people, it's boundless, right?
It is endless.
Yes. Hey, I'm just glad that, you know, our company doesn't run Saturday Night Live, because every one of those letters would be treated seriously and the show would have to stop doing all of those things.
Well, that's your thought. I love our company and I love the way they do business. I think everything they do is excellent and I'm a fan.
I agree with Dean.
Yes.
What?
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Chris Humphries, who is still married to Kim Kardashian. He, of course, plays for the Brooklyn Nets. 27 years old today. Allison Hayslip from Attack of the Show turns 32. Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses is 51. Kathy Najimy, very funny actress, King of the Hill. She does the voice of Peggy on that show, and a bunch of TV and movie work, like Sister Act. She is 56 years old. Robert Townsend is 56 as well. TV journalist Tom Brokaw.
Tom Brokaw. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Tom Brokaw.
Is he the most famous person to ever come out of South Dakota?
No, Pat O'Brien.
Ooh, good one. Yeah. Good call.
You know, I was the first person to interview Destiny's Child.
Did he say
that? Oh, F. Mother effer with
Did
the
he
name
say that
dropping.
Yesterday? Really?
He was talking about the Super Bowl.
And, you know, Beyonce, she reunited with her old Destiny Child co-stars. I was the first person to ever interview Destiny's Child. I remember that.
That is super relevant to the conversation.
He likes
about
to
the
drop
Super Bowl
names.
Halftime show.
You think? A bit. He likes to drop names a bit.
Rip Torn from The Larry Sanders Show is 82 years old today. Zsa Zsa Gabor turns 96. And Rick Astley! Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you
down, never gonna run around and desert you. You know, I was the first person to interview Rick Astley after he had that hit. I took him to a Lakers game. Kobe knows where my seats are, don't you, Kobe? You come over and talk sometime. I'm Pat O'Brien, and I'm insufferable.
I'm Rob Carman. I walk the show.
The Adam Carolla podcast, of course, has been the biggest in the world for a number of years. It's in the Guinness Book of World Records as the most downloaded ever. But don't you sense, Kevin, that it's folding up shop after tonight?
It's coming to a close, yes.
I mean, clearly, when Kevin and Bean are the guests on the Carolla podcast, you're completely out. And unless you're just going to sit around and wait for a new round of celebrities to be born, Adam, what's your plan here, son?
I think it's high time that you guys come on the show. And, you know, it's fun because as Jimmy's star ascends, it's funny to tell the old pathetic stories.
That's true.
I mean, what about him eating the Canadian bacon off the wall a year later?
It was nailed on the wall for a full year.
Thumbtack through it on a cork board.
Right. And then he ate it.
He said he would do it, and he did it. I got to give him credit for that. But is this just some way to – is this some sort of revenge that's happening tonight on the podcast? And we're going to be at the Amalfi Restaurant on North La Brea Avenue starting tonight at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 5:30, by the way. Free glass of mangria and the Adam Carolla podcast with special guest Kevin Bean. Is this just some way for you to get back at us now that you're a big multimedia star?
No,
and just
I just want you guys to come in and see how the sausage is made, or as I like to say, the fudge is packed. You know, people are always like, the fudge is packed. That's so homoerotic. But I'm like, how about the sausage?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got a lot of symbolism in it, too.
Well, we are honored that you asked us to be there, even though we know it's because somebody canceled. But thank you anyway. Again, the information is at adamcarolla.com. If you're looking for something fun to do tonight, it's going to be at the Amalfi Restaurant at around 7 o'clock or so. Doors open at 5:30. Should be fun. Adam joins us each week at this time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three and working on up to number one. Oh, had to go to the kids' school on Friday for a very special event. And I know I complain nonstop about this, but when you were in grade school, other than graduation or you getting in suspended or sent to the principal's office, how often did your dad show up at school
Never.
During daylight hours?
Never. I don't think one time.
Your dad worked during daylight hours, right?
Right.
They didn't guilt him. I love this strategy. You know what? Let's guilt the dads away from making a living to support their family so they can go down and watch their kid do something that their kid will never remember. You know what it was? It was a walk for fitness. 6 and 7 year olds walking in a circle on a grass field for an hour.
But why did you have to go to that?
Because I'm a bad parent if I don't go. I get guilted.
But isn't that just recess? Isn't that all they're doing is just going outside and playing for 45 minutes?
Well, here's the insane part. Yes, get a utility ball and try to kill another kid with it. It's the greatest burner. Let me tell you, nothing burns calories like giving one kid a utility ball and giving another kid a target on his back. Because the kid who's trying to avoid getting hit by the ball is burning a ton of calories, and the guy who's trying to kill him with the ball is burning a ton of calories.
We need
to get back. You want to burn? You don't want obese kids? Give half the kids a ball, the other half a target, and just blow a whistle. There'll never be another fat kid.
Plus, they'll get dads to want to come down there and watch.
Yeah, hell yeah, I would pay. I'd start putting money on the big kid, putting a few dollars down on the wily Asian. He's like an eel. Yeah, so I got to watch the kids walk in a circle for an hour.
Sweet.
For fitness. But the great part is, you know, 6 and 7 year olds walking is really like them sitting and eating a donut. There's no calorie burning. And then every once in a while, some kid would break out into a jog, and the coach would yell over the PA system, "No running! No running! Let's keep it safe! Let's keep it safe!" God forbid a 6 year old runs on a lawn for fitness.
What about the NFL that every 5 minutes during football tells the kids to get out and play for an hour a day outside? Are they only supposed to go 40 feet in that hour?
All I can tell you that the marathon turned into the half marathon, which turned into the 10K, which turned into the 5K walk or ride.
Yeah.
So eventually there's just going to be a thing where I sit on my desk chair and you push me for 100 yards for breast cancer. It's going to be awesome. And by the way, parents standing on the sidelines holding signs saying, like, Dylan's number one.
What?
Oh, my God.
Cheering their kids on, creating. Can you imagine? Now, imagine when these kids get their driver's licenses. 10 years from now, we're going to have a whole new pack of a-holes to deal with on the road. All right, number two. I was thinking about this. I was sitting in the barber's chair yesterday, and I was getting a haircut, and, you know, they put that cape around you, that slicker bib thing,
right,
and they put that tissue around your neck, and they pull it real tight so they get no hair under your collar there. And then they lift your chair up a little, so you're looking. Anyway, the reflection you see in the mirror, that's the worst mirror on the planet, right? Your head looks like a mushroom. You're kind of looking down on yourself, so it looks like you have three chins. And you're just sitting there, and I realize you've never looked worse because you look like your head is poking up from an anthill, and it looks like you have three chins because of the angle, and it's squeezing too tight on your head, so your head looks all swollen. I say, worst mirror in the world. And then I started to think about it. What's the best mirror in the world? Best mirror in the world is the one on the ceiling of the elevator. You ever go in the elevator and it has the mirror on the ceiling and you just look up at yourself and you go, wow, you are a good-looking dude.
I don't usually follow it with that sentiment, but okay.
If there's ever a mirror on the ceiling of an elevator, and if you go to a decent hotel, they'll do the mirrored ceiling thing. I don't care if I'm staying on the second floor. I'll push the 33rd floor just to get a nice, a nice long ride with me and the dude with the chiseled jawline, just staring up at my head. And then I thought, ironically, that's the only shot. No one will ever see you from that angle.
That's correct.
They all see you from the barber chair angle.
Yeah. True.
So that's the only eyeballs that ever see you on that great-looking angle. That, and then I had an ingenious thought. Let's take the mirror from the ceiling of the elevator and put it at the barber shop.
That seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, but it would work. It would be awesome.
Okay.
No, honestly, the barbershop mirror should be at an angle.
Well, it's sort of a circus clown mirror. I'll give you that.
It should be leaning forward just a little bit. You could see the back of your head a little better. You could see what was going on behind you, and you wouldn't get that big balloon head effect.
All right.
All right, just thinking.
An answer to a problem that doesn't exist. Go ahead.
Yes, and number one, this problem is very real. This problem does exist, and I'm putting it out there to any NFL team that needs my assistance. Look, I watch this Super Bowl, and there's a lot of praying that goes on in the end zone. A lot of guys, after they catch that ball, dropping a knee, looking down, thanking God, you know. And then I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going up after anything. I'm not going across the middle. I'm not pulling in anything. But I could be the guy who stands next to that guy when he grabs a knee and holds his arms out and does the back off. Let him pray.
You do that.
Oh, there you go.
You'll be everybody stay away for a second.
I got you.
What I'm saying is you don't want me involved with the play because I could be running an out to the opposite side of the field, and then I won't be there
right
for that dude. And I'm saying, all right, I don't have the vertical leap. I don't have the upper body. I don't have the 40 speed. I don't have any of that. But what I do have is I would be Johnny on the spot with the, I'd have a nice squat going, I'd have the arms out wide, I have a wingspan like a condor, and I would be very, because that guy's talking to God, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
I
don't give him some privacy,
fat,
right.
Fat 300-pound guard from Wisconsin running up and jumping on the guy when he's having a conversation with God, you know what I'm saying?
But you don't think 300-pounder could get through your arm?
Well, I would do it mostly verbally. You know what I mean? Arms out. He's talking to God.
Give him a moment. Give him a minute.
He's wrapping it up. Tell God I said hi. You know what I mean? Thanks for the touchdown.
So not everybody has to be James Brown. Somebody has to be the guy that puts the cape on James Brown when he's down on the ground.
Who puts the cape on him? Who takes the cape off?
That's right.
Me.
That's you.
That's
all right.
I could add to your ball club. And I would argue, sure, you could draft a good tight end, but a relationship with God?
Yeah,
most
yeah.
Most of these Super Bowl wins come down to a bad call or a tipped ball.
Right.
Come on. You tell me that's not the Lord's work?
So he solved the problem that didn't exist with the mirrors. Now he's created a new NFL position. That's what Adam Carolla is up to. Go to AdamCarolla.com for information on all the live appearances, including one at the Amalfi Restaurant and Bar in Los Angeles tonight with us, Kevin and Bean, on the podcast. You can get your Mangria and your books and the podcast and the whole deal. And we'll see you tonight, Ace. Thanks, man.
Great.
So I'm watching the Baltimore Ravens celebration in, of all places, Baltimore yesterday. They did it, opened up the doors. Where do they play? It's a M&B Stadium, or it's got some terrible name in the Inner Harbor there. And the place was just packed. And Ralph, the reason I'm impinging on your time here is because this directly involves you.
Okay.
So they do the big thing where they have the trophy and the music and the highlight reel and everything like that. And all the players and everybody gets up and says a few words about how great the fans are. And here's the announcer for the Baltimore Ravens bringing up a special guest. And Ralph, I think you'll enjoy this very much.
Ravens fans, we wish we could have taken every one of you with the team to New Orleans. Even though we could not do that, we can make sure we take you someplace special today. Because thanks to number 20, for each of you, we have two tickets to paradise with Ed Reed.
We got two tickets to paradise.
What's happening?
No, this guy is singing in a stadium, two tickets to paradise, along with the Eddie Money record that Ralph loves so much. This is one of the great karaoke performances of all time.
We got two tickets to paradise. Pack your bags, we can leave tonight.
Why is this happening? Seriously.
I mean,
how awesome is
that's
that?
Not even a karaoke bet. He's singing along to the real song.
To the record. Yeah.
It's like singing in the car or the shower.
And poorly.
Well, who okayed that? Didn't somebody go, hey, this isn't good?
No, it's Ed Reed.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Ed Reed is?
No.
Maybe that's part of it. I don't know who he is.
He's a biggest star on the Ravens as Ray Lewis is.
Okay. So it's their star player that's really crappy singing.
Cornerback. He's a legend. He's a legend with the
Not
Ravens.
Not anymore.
I'm surprised you know him. He's one of the biggest names in the NFL, too. And he's one of the three big stars. There's Flacco, there's Ed Reed, and there's Lewis.
Wow. They should have chosen one of the other two.
And Ray Rice, I guess. But yeah, I guess if he says, look, I want to do something, you say, well, all right.
I don't know if that's a thing that they've been doing in Baltimore about calling the trip to New Orleans Two Tickets to Paradise, or if there was a promotion or whatever. But I just laughed when I thought, in 2013, here's a 25-year-old black guy singing an Eddie Money song to a stadium full of 70,000 people. It was just a weird moment.
And he wasn't really singing.
Yeah. Listen, Ed, I don't rap. You don't sing Eddie Money, okay?
Whatever he was doing, I don't know what it was either. But
I did. Ed's a free safety, by the way. It's not a cornerback.
Free safety,
one of the big defensive players.
I certainly did think of you when I saw it, Ralph.
Well,
I appreciate how proud you must be.
I appreciate that. I know this is the showbiz beat time, but I heard a rumor tomorrow we're maybe doing one of the Kevin and Bean Citizens of the Day.
We are.
Can I make a nominee
before
you make the final decision?
Sure.
Real quick story. I did want to talk about a federal prison inmate named Ronnell Wilson, who is currently incarcerated for, he was convicted, found guilty of the assassination-style murders of two undercover police officers.
Wow.
Who were involved with the gang that he was involved in during a gun deal that went wrong. I guess these guys, their cover was blown. He shot them both point-blank, back of the head, execution style. He's 29 years old, currently doing life in prison.
Well, it's really funny so far.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because yesterday his girlfriend, Nancy Gonzalez, 29, was in court. The reason? Well, she was the prison guard at the federal penitentiary where Ronnell was doing his time.
What?
She is currently pregnant with his child.
What?
They were having an affair while she was guarding him, and they would have sex during the night shift at Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn.
Wow.
How hard up is she for a boyfriend?
Yeah. And there are guys listening right now who take care of themselves and they've got a job and they're doing the best they can. They can't get a date to save their lives. This guy's in prison for double murder and he's getting laid.
They're killed two cops.
Their kill count is zero.
He killed two cops. She is a correctional officer.
Wow. It doesn't seem like that would work out. It seems like they're coming from two different places in the world.
Yeah. Two different sides of the law.
I would say so, yeah.
Nancy, 29, was arrested on charges she had intentionally engaged in sex with Ronnell Wilson while working the night shift.
Did you say she was pregnant?
She became pregnant in June, a few months after the affair.
My God.
Gonzalez appeared in court Tuesday, visibly pregnant, crying, and was released on $150,000 bail.
Look, if I'm in jail doing time, for life probably, I assume this convict is, you got to go for it with every female prison guard.
Oh, no question.
You can't really blame him for trying, right?
But what prison guard is saying yes?
Yeah, you blame her for agreeing.
To
absolutely.
Ron.
Without safety as well.
Well, I'm sure she had her gun and her baton.
No.
I'm sure she was safe. I'm sure.
Saying against getting pregnant.
Oh!
Yeah. That seems...
Oh, protection, I think, is the word maybe you're looking for.
Thank you.
Safety.
Seems bad.
I'm sure she handcuffed him before they had sex, just so he wouldn't make a break for it or something. I couldn't believe that.
Look, that's I'll crazy. Let you have sex with me, but don't try to escape.
That's right. Because I'm not going to break all the laws. So, well done, Nancy Gonzalez, age 29. Once again, your life decisions have served you well.
Do you have anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, well, sure. Let's talk about some showbiz stuff. Parks and Recreation star Chris Pratt has a new gig.
Oh, he's the best.
Just been announced. He will be starring in Marvel's new upcoming comic book movie, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Now that's getting a tremendous buzz, right?
Yeah, everyone's talking about this.
What's the Guardians of the Galaxy?
It is a lesser-known sort of cult classic comic.
Kind of like the Avengers?
Kind of, but it's a little more quirky, to use a word.
To use a well-chosen word?
That's right. It's a team of aliens and animals and stuff, and it's a really funny, interesting, clever film. A comic, rather, being made into a film. Chris Pratt will play Star-Lord, the half-human, half-alien leader of the Guardians of the Galaxy. So, new gig for him. This surprised me. Kevin and I were both big fans of a movie called Hitman. Came out a couple years ago.
I love that.
Starring Timothy Oliphant.
Ooh. And the girl with the tattoo on her face.
Yeah.
She was hot.
Also known, these days, I guess, best known for, what's the sheriff
Justified?
Movie? Justified. Yeah, yeah.
TV show.
Anyway, that did pretty well for itself. Movie made $100 million. Now it's just been announced they're remaking it. They're going to remake
It's not number two?
Hitman. No, they're not making a sequel
huh.
with Timothy Olyphant. They're going to reboot it with Paul Walker from Fast and the Furious in the lead role.
Hmm.
I don't think he's got the
I don't either.
The nads for that role. Olyphant, I mean, was scary as hell in that film. I thought he really pulled it off well. But
he was good in that. He was also good in the... You know I'm not going to come up with this movie.
Safety?
Die Hard. He was good in Die Hard 4. Timothy Olyphant was the bad guy.
All right. I don't remember,
remember
that.
Remember in the giant truck where he was controlling all of the internet and all that stuff? Come on,
okay,
Ralph!
Okay, I believe you. I just do not recall.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's a bad idea to remake that. I think Tim Olyphant should be put in that film again. But yeah, what do I know? What do I know? Jessica Chastain. She's in two movies right now. She's also on Broadway in a play called The Heiress. Last weekend, her dog made its Broadway debut.
I'm sorry?
Her dog. It wasn't planned that way. Apparently, she brings her dog Chaplin to the theater with her every night. And during a very dramatic moment in The Heiress, Chaplin decided to walk out on stage. Jessica had to leave the stage so the dog would follow her and then continue on with the show. The dog, by the way, has three legs. So just if you thought, well, maybe the audience thought that was just part of the play and nobody noticed. No, the dog came hobbling out on stage on Broadway and she had to walk off the stage to take the dog with
her. That's a long way for a dog with three legs to go.
He really is. He really got bit by the bug. He really wants to be a star. She apparently took the final bow with Chaplin in her arms, so the dog got a little round of applause at the end of the show as well.
What about the dogs? No respect for the dogs?
What about the dogs, Michael? What about the dogs?
What about the dogs? What about the dogs?
Mike Tyson appears on Law & Order tonight playing a death row inmate, a murderer named Reggie Rhodes, whose violent actions may in part be the byproduct of sexual abuse he suffered as a child. Mike's going to be acting his ass off tonight.
Hmm.
Mike said his favorite scene was with Mariska Hargitay because she has big cans and then he bit her ear. So
I don't think he said that.
What the whole experience was supposed to be. But we don't know. And we were talking about that Beverly Hills Cop TV series.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Murphy will reprise his role as Axel Foley, but this time he plays the chief of police in Detroit, and his son, Brandon Jackson, plays Foley's son as the new Beverly Hills Cop. Just been added to the cast, Kevin Pollak.
No kidding.
Great.
Yeah, he will play the in-house attorney for the Beverly Hills PD. So we get to see Pollak back on television. He's a great actor. Looking forward to that.
You remember in the original Beverly Hills Cop when Eddie Murphy was singing Roxanne? Remember that,
that
scene?
48 Hours.
48 Hours.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Different film.
Never mind.
Yep, Eddie Murphy was in both of those, but you're right.
We'll edit that out.
No one will hear it. Convict.
That's 48 Hours. Today's celebrity...
What's happening?
I just got rickrolled.
Two tickets to paradise. Pack your bags, we can leave tonight. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Headed toward his son in the new version is going to be singing a song, too. That's where I was going for, and it would have been funny if I'd gotten the right movie, I suppose. But
would have helped.
So instead of just abandoning that joke, as you did rightly the first time, now you're going to...
Because I just felt like I left it hanging out there. Like, why did he bring that up and then it was the wrong movie and then there was no, it wasn't going anywhere. I just wanted to explain why I asked the question in the first place.
I'm bored.
I don't blame you, Lisa. I don't blame you. I recuse myself from the entire conversation and apologize to the nation.
I respectfully request that this Showbiz Beat not be used for the podcast when we edit it together.
I agree.
I would like to put that
and in. Not go into the permanent record either. By the way,
I would like to. Is there an application I need to?
I don't think.
Do
I don't
writing
know.
Or maybe something? Do I have to submit something in writing?
Beer Mug with the Library of Congress calls later today. Respectfully.
Oh my God! Oh yes!
Wow.
I just changed my mind.
I'm bored.
I would like this show is beaten now to be in the podcast.
What is happening?
This bean just had a stroke during it. I think we need to document that.
Why did we make it till like the last 2 minutes of the show? We were fine, and now we can't do anything right.
I love it so much when it's not me.
Do you have anything you want to talk about?
I was in a show with Mel Tillis all of a sudden. Never gonna give you up.
Never gonna let you down. All right. We're hopeless. I'm Rob Garman. I walk the show business. Let's just get the hell out of here.
It's Rick Astley's birthday. That's why.
Yeah.
Playing that.
Hey, but I thought he would sing another song. His son. Rick Astley's son would sing a song in another movie.
Do we have a Bean the Show Killer jingle? Do we have that someplace? All right. Thursday morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Jonesy joining us in the studio.
We had Jonesy this morning in the studio.
No, the real Jonesy. What?
I'm going
to come back and do the show because I don't feel that I was properly
treated. The real Jonesy. Also,
the first time.
Also, comedian Jim Jeffries will be in studio.
Because I come in here.
Talking about his new show, Legit.
Talk about all the things that
right.
I've done.
Okay.
And then you go on and
the
say
kid,
something else like, oh, you don't want to hear me tell my story.
No, I don't. The kid that made out with Bar Raffaele in the commercial we're going to talk to you tomorrow.
Got her pregnant.
Oh.
Did he get her pregnant? Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it changes my mind then.
It's true.
And we'll give away tickets to our pre-Grammy party with Muse tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.